So once again, I want to thank all of the volunteers who came out. Listen, a lot of churches do, they have things that they do. And ours is VBS. And listen, I'm telling you right now, based off of friends that I have, people that I'm close with in the ministries, they never get the turnout of kids that we do, but they also never get the amount of volunteers that we do. So again, can we give it up for Pastor Scott and all the volunteers? Awesome. Yep, so for the adults in the room, we've been doing this VBS called All Aboard. Nice. We've been doing this, and the verse of the week, I feel like this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. The verse of the week was Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Can we say that together? Go into So when we were doing this, there's a specific, every day I taught a Bible lesson to the kids. Every day we had the good news of the day. The good news of the day. How many of you believe that the gospel of Jesus is the good news, right? Now, what I was thinking about this is we have a lot of bad news in our world, don't we? There is bad news every single day. Every day. You turn on the television, you go online, whatever you do, read the paper if you still do that. And there is bad news every day. But this week, we had good news every day. And what I want to tell you is today, this morning, is that there's good news that these kids learned. Maybe it was their first time. Maybe for most of you in the room, this is good news you've heard before, but we need to hear it again. We got to hear it again. The good news of the gospel. There's so much bad news, but I believe as Christians, we should celebrate that we have the good news. You know, Christians should be walking around like they got the good news, not the bad news. Man, I'm all excited about VBS. Are you? It's a good news of the gospel, things that we should be carrying around. People are like, there's all the bad news. Why are you so happy? Why are you so full? Why do you have that? What is it? It's the good news. It's the good news. They said, what is that? I don't know any good news. Can we just think about that for a second? The good news of the gospel should be our joy. Should be our strength, should be our hope. It's not just for kids, it's for all of us in this room. It's not just for children, it's not just stories, it's not just parts of our faith that we're like, oh, that's all the stuff we know. No, this is stuff that we celebrate and we remember every day. Every day, we need to remind ourselves, remind our hearts of the good news. So day one, before I get into this, I want to tell you, there's five lessons. I'm going to go through them with you today, but I'm not going to go through them in detail because I don't want to keep you all here. We got kids in the service and kids, look at my kids, they're not even paying attention. So it's like, I'm totally understanding that. But the good news of the first day is that Jesus came to save us. Come on, Jesus came to save us. And I had the best helpers. Brady had talked about it. I had David Kays came for 2 days and spoke. I had Brad Mapes. I had Pastor Jeff come as a conductor. We had a great time. But David Kays came to us the first time, and he shared with us a map going all the way back to trains. Now, before there was a train that connected the United States, right? Before there was the Transcontinental Railroad, there were mountains that were in between the east and the west of the United States. There were mountains that made it treacherous. Now we hop on a plane, right? Hop on a plane, maybe you get on a car, go down Route 66 or whatever. You're going to get there. There's roads to get there. But there were no roads back then. There was no way to get from that side to the other you know how many people died on that journey? So it was almost impossible. You had the Rocky Mountains, the Sierra Madre Mountains, the Cascade Mountains, and they were a huge obstacle. But as much as those mountains were a huge obstacle for those early settlers, we as humans have a huge obstacle between us and God. Huge. In Psalm 24, it says this, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? What do they say the mountain is? Just listen. Who may stand in his holy place? Only those who have hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. Whoa. How many of you all told a lie before, right? Like, come on. You're lying right now. You know that you have. See, in this psalm, it's talking about purity and wholeness. It's because, yes, God is good. God is loving. But he's also incredibly holy. He is pure in every and perfect in every way. And we're not in every way. So there's this mountain. And how can we get to him if we're not perfect? That's what it says. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus came to save us. He knows the mountain between us, and he came to save us. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all imperfect. We can't get over those mountains on our own. So what, are we going to live in sin forever? Are we going to live in the desert forever? No, Jesus came to save us. Now, in Luke 15, in one of the Gospels, there's a bunch of religious leaders that are pretty upset with Jesus because he is hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And you know why they didn't like the tax collectors, right? Because they go up and say, let's say, Denny, you know, the government, believe it or not, you owe money to the government. Surprise, surprise, as a business owner, right? Okay, $100, that's cheap. Well, I'm letting you off the hook. But really, I'm going to say $200, and I'm going to pocket the $100, and you give me $200. That's kind of the stuff they were known for. So these religious leaders who thought they were pure, right? They thought they were perfect, are now looking and judging Jesus for hanging out with the ones who aren't perfect, but little did they know, they're just as imperfect as those religious leaders. So Jesus tells them three stories. He tells them the story of the lost sheep. Do you know the story of the lost sheep? He got 100 sheep, he says. If just one left, wouldn't you leave the 99 to go find them? And if you did, wouldn't you be so pumped? That's what he's telling them, and they're looking at him like, no, what are you talking about? And then he said, well, they weren't getting it, so he told another one, told this other story about a lost coin. And this lady who, if she lost a lost coin, and the kids were like, well, I lose coins all the time. I'm like, imagine that coin was $100, right? That $100 coin, you would search and tear up everything in your house to find that. You would. I mean, you do that right now for a remote, right? Where is the remote? I gotta find it. And when you do find it, you throw a party, right? Yes, we found the remote. Our lives are saved. But the one I want to touch on a little bit this morning is the story of the lost son. I want to touch on it briefly because you've heard the story, and I'm just going to paraphrase it for you this morning. Jesus tells this parable. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not true. Can I tell you that? It could have happened, but even if it didn't, this is a truth that Jesus is trying to communicate to them and to us. And here's the deal. He says this story, this boy, say he leaves his father. There's two sons. There's an older son and a younger son. The older son is like the Pharisees. He thinks he's good to go, doing everything right. I do all the things right. I look good on the outside, but inside he wasn't doing so well. The other son was the younger son. Any younger sons here in the house? And he had an itch that he had to scratch. You know, he had an itch he had to scratch. So he said, Dad, listen, Pops. He probably was disrespectful. You know, hey, homeboy dad, I don't know. And he's like, I want all my money. Give me everything you've got. I want the money that I was supposed to get when you died. So basically saying, you're dead to me, and I want you to give me that money because I'm going to go on my own. I'm going to do things my way. And Jesus is telling us that this father is like us, like him, like God. Jesus is saying the father is like God, and he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Because you know what? Even when you want to leave, God's not gonna make you do anything. God's just going to love on you and pray that you come. God doesn't force anybody. If he did, we'd all be robots. So he allowed him to leave. And you know the story, he leaves and he spends his money on frivolous things. I say he's living La Vida Loca, right? He's living La Vida Loca. He's acting crazy. Some of you younger ones, you'll know this term. He was getting lit, right? So he was doing all these things, partying, getting all this stuff out of his system apparently because the money got out of the system. And then he finds himself in a terrible situation where he has to go and work with pigs, which are the lowest of lowest of lowest of lows. That when Jesus is telling this, that's the lowest you could get in that society, is working with unclean pigs, eating out of the trough, living with them. So the young son comes to his senses and says, man, you know what? He starts just planning it out. Maybe my father will take me. Maybe my father will take me back just as a servant. I'm not even going to come back. I already said I don't want to be your son anymore. Maybe he'll just take me back. And Jesus says that as he was walking, the father saw him from a distance. And he ran to him. The father ran to him, not to punch him like some of us would like to do. Right? I'm wondering if the Pharisees are like, oh, this is where he gets it, right? No, he comes and embraces him, puts a robe on him, and throws a party for him. He throws a party for the lost son that comes back. Because listen, Jesus came to save us. The same reason why Jesus was ministering to those sinners and those tax collectors is the same reason why he died on the cross, because he came to save us. And as Christians, this is good news. We need to remember that we have a Savior who is coming to save us. He is running to us and wrapping his arms around us, not to hurt us. God wants somebody to hear that this morning. He's not coming to hurt you. He's coming to embrace you. And as Christians, this is the beginning of the hope that you have, real hope that you have a Savior. And as we know, those older sons, right, the older son, those Pharisee kind of mindset, he was lost too, because he was mad that his dad was throwing the party for him. See, he was a son, but he didn't realize that he didn't understand his identity. He didn't realize that he was also lost. Jesus comes to save us. If you're far from God, he can see you from a distance. He's running towards you. And if you're like the older brother, understand that it's not you that makes you perfect. It's him. And we should all be celebrating that he came to save us. Amen? And I'm ready for that big party. That'll be awesome. So number two, that leads us into day number two, that Jesus made a way for us. Jesus made a way for us. Actually, this is where the I'm getting my day screwed up, but it's VBS and my shirt's still wet. My shirt is still wet. My shirt is damp right now. That's how dedicated I am. But this is where the railroad came in. He came to save us, but he came to make a way for us, to make it so that we could get to God. And when he does this, listen, this is so incredible, because so many of us, like the early settlers, died trying. Not only did he come and get us, but he made a way for us to get to God. Transcontinental Railroad, it was easy. It made things change. Because, listen, sin is what keeps us between us and God. Sin is the thing that keeps you from God. You know this. When you're not doing well in your heart, it's like, man, Lord, will you search me? Will you find me? Lord, I need to confess about some stuff. And here's where we were on this, is that Jesus conquered all of our sin on the cross. All of our sin on the cross. And what I did is Brady Hackathorn, you saw a picture of it on that slideshow, but Brady Hackathorn was a true boss, because we did an illustration where I gave him a white t-shirt. We took him out over there, and I had a bag full of sin. And the sin was ketchup, mustard, and you know where that went. It went on that white shirt. Ketchup, mustard, chocolate syrup, strawberry syrup, grape juice. I had SpaghettiOs, barbecue sauce, and dog food. Dog food is the sin that nobody wants to talk about. See all the other ones? Yeah, we all got a little barbecue sauce on our shirt. But dog food was the one that's the one I really don't want to tell people about. But listen, he knows that sin, and he made a way for you to get past that sin to him. He doesn't hold that dog food on your shirt against you. And what we did as an illustration is Dylan was Jesus. Dylan did a great job. Dylan's in the back. Dylan was Jesus, and he came and gave him a new shirt, and he took his old one. Isn't that a great illustration for what Jesus did for us on the cross? Because, y'all, this is good news. Jesus came to save us and make a way for us. It wasn't fair. We don't deserve it. And it's honestly a miracle if we really think about it. So that morning, what I did is right here on this cross, brought this cross. I heaved this thing up here by myself. It's heavier than it looks because it got concrete at the bottom. And the kids put their sins on this cross. They nailed it to the cross where it belongs because he took it here. And it's gone and it stays here. And I want to read some of them because they're really funny, but I don't want to embarrass any kids. But one of them said that they used their mom's they used their mom's credit card. I was like, wow, that's a good one to put on there. And one of them said, get a snake. Not sure why, but you know, maybe I didn't do a great job teaching that day. I'm not sure. Get a snake. What are you confessing, or you want one? See, the Bible says if we repent and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, he will forgive. He will forgive. And those things, those mountains, those things between us that remind us of how impure we are, he made a way like that transcontinental railroad that got us to the right place. That got us to the right place. He will trade in our dirty and sticky shirts and give us a clean one because Jesus came to save us and make a way for us. And then if that, it doesn't end there, does it? It's not like he just died on the cross. And in the day number three, which was Wacky Wednesday, that was a wacky day. Some crazy things happened. I had dreadlocks on. Everybody was all crazy. If you came in here, you'd be like, where am I? It's wild. It was wacky. And when we were just having fun doing that kind of stuff, but we got serious when we got to this because we don't have enough to get through this life on our own. And we need Jesus to give us some power. Amen? And when Jesus died on that cross, he came back to life 3 days later. And the Bible says that it was the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. And did you know that same Spirit that is in Christ is in you? So we don't just get power, we don't just get saved. He now gives us power through the Holy Spirit so that we can move on and do things with God. And I brought Brad Mapes came and he, you know, he's all about A&A Railroad. They got the caboose down the street with the ice cream. So the kids really, really paid attention to him, right? They're like, yeah, you got any coupons for me? You know, they were like. You could just see him, like, and every time he asked a question, he's like, any questions? They're like, what kind of ice cream do you serve over there at the Caboose Ice Cream? So he came, and he taught them about the steam engine locomotives. You know, a steam engine doesn't work without fire. You need fire in the steam engine to make it work, and we need the fire of God in our hearts for us to keep going. So we talked about it. When no fire, there's no power. The steam engine just sits on the tracks. This is the same for Christians. We've accepted Jesus as our Savior, and he's taken our sins. He's made a way for us. But in order to keep this thing moving, we're going to need some fire, and we're going to need some power. See, in the Word of God, it says in Romans 8:11 that God's Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. That's power. That's power. But what is it? How do we get to this power? How do we get this power in our steam engine? I love this story. I just love it. Pastor Scott was a big writer in this. He did a great job. But when he wrote this, he was using Peter as an example. We looked at Peter. Now, how many of you know Peter? He was a fisherman. He was a tough guy. He was like probably, you know, and as you can see from some of his experiences in his life, he thought he was tough. I mean, the dude literally chopped off somebody else's ear because he thought he was trying to help God. That's how, like, strong he was, right? He's like, go, do it. And he even said this to Jesus right before Jesus was arrested. He said, I will follow you no matter what. Jesus is like, I don't think so. I know you. You know what he knew? You don't have the power yet. No, seriously. He knew it. You don't have the power yet. So what happens? Jesus was arrested and Peter got scared. And he denied knowing him three times. Three times. When he just said, not long before that, I will follow you no matter what. I mean, I think we've all been in this place in our lives before where we have the best intentions, we just don't have the fire. So as Peter's there, I think it's crazy. The first person to ask him, do you know who it was? It was a little girl. A little girl came up to this big, burly, strong man who just cut off a dude's ear off, like the night before, and says, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Don't you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I don't even know him. I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't have any strength or power to even say and admit that he knew Jesus in front of a little girl. So Jesus comes back. He's resurrected. And Jesus told them this when he's resurrected. He said, don't try to follow me. Don't try to follow me on your own strength. He's hung out with these guys for a while. He knows them. He knows they don't have enough strength on their own. Can I tell you, neither do we. So Jesus says to them to wait. In Acts 1, he tells them to wait until they receive power from the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 1, he says this. Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power. Now, why did he tell them to wait? Why did he say that? Because he knew they couldn't do it on their own power, and he knew there was no fire in that steam engine. So he said, wait. And thank God they did. Because in Acts 2, we see it unfold. A group of believers waiting on God, waiting for the Holy Spirit, his power, his fire. They don't know what to expect. They just know, I don't have the power, and I need it, and I need his Spirit inside me. I need it. So they're waiting. I would guess that they're desperate at this point, that they're just like, God, I just can't do it. I just denied a girl 3 times. I cut a dude's ear off. I'm all messed up, right? Peter, in general, is definitely going through something. But we hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind flow through their house. And suddenly, their tongues of fire on their heads. And they started speaking in languages that they didn't even know. And it caused such a commotion that people started to gather around and be like, other people, onlookers, what's going on? Some people were amazed. It says that. But other people were mocking them. Can I tell you that real quick, just a little side note, that the world will mock us for receiving power from the Holy Spirit. But listen, other Christians will mock you for believing that. But that doesn't change the fact that there is fire inside you. That doesn't change the fact. Their opinions can be whatever they want, but that doesn't change the fact. So this same man, Peter, who is now filled with the Holy Spirit, he's got all these people outside doing stuff like, what are they, drunk? What are they, drunk? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter, the same guy who was afraid to talk to a little girl, is now full of power and starts to preach the gospel to the crowds. Starts to preach the gospel to the masses. Couldn't do it before because he didn't have the power before. He couldn't do it before because he hadn't encountered the Holy Spirit before. He needed that. So this is the time where the Holy Spirit is giving him fire in his steam engine. This is the time where he's bold. What's changed? He's got the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We were telling this to the kids. The only reason why we can do what we do is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We should be just as reliant on it, on the Lord, on that moment, on that being baptized in the Holy Spirit as those early Christians were in that upper room. Come on. Come on. We need to be filled. Man, the kids got it. You know, I think it's interesting because I don't know why we convince ourselves that we can do it on our own. I don't. We do, though. We do it all the time. I can do it on my own. It's like what I talked about the other day. It's like, does it require my willpower? Yes, but it's also, listen, I got to be on his will. It's God moving and me moving. We're both doing this thing together, but God isn't going to move unless you move. God isn't going to move unless you invite him in, because listen, he's not going to make you do anything. Even Peter had the best intentions, couldn't do it on his own. Could not do it on his own. All right, so we need to be filled. I'm going to move on because sake of time, real quick. Jesus keeps us on track. Day 4. Jesus keeps us on track. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, he washes us clean. His desire for our lives at that point is to stay on track. Now, he does that also with the Holy Spirit, but what we were talking about is that he does it with the Word of God as well. Every train has train tracks, and those train tracks go one specific direction. There's a bend, you're bending, you're moving. If it turns, you're turning. But just in the real world, I was going to look up train derailment photos for the kids, But it was so devastating, I didn't want them to be like crying, and I didn't want to give them bad news, right? But the truth is that train derailments are devastating and catastrophic, but it's the same thing when a Christian gets off the tracks. It's the same thing when a follower of Jesus gets off the tracks, and Jesus is trying to keep us on the track and keep us, and he uses the word of God to do so. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is God-breathed. Can we say all scripture? Is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Training. We have all aboard the Jesus train. That's the choo-choo train. And it's also the training that we need as Christians. The training to keep us on track. Unfortunately, today, there are a lot of Christians in this world who do not believe the Bible is the Word of God and should be useful for training. I'm just telling you. You see them out there. You'll hear people say things like, well, that's just a bunch of religious rules. Or you'll hear people say that track, that's just trying to restrict me from freedom. Listen, what I'm realizing is that God is trying not to restrict us from freedom, but God is trying to keep us on track so we don't derail. Keep us on track. See, when I tell my kids, don't go play in the street. I live on Route 98. Why am I saying that? Because I'm trying to restrict them from their, I don't love them because I don't want them to have fun in their lives. I don't want them to die. So when people are like, why is all these rules? Why are there things? Listen, he's just got guidelines to keep you on track. I said this other day to a young adult. I said, listen, when you're struggling and you're thinking to yourself, man, the world looks like they got, why don't you just take 5 minutes and look at what the world's got and tell me it's better? Seriously. Where are we at? We got divorce at an all-time high. We have sexual sin running rampant, and people are praising it. We have people, oh, man, I'm going to get into it, but this is VBS Sunday. What am I doing? We just want to have fun. We just want to love people. God wants to love you, too, but his way is better than our way. It's better. His tracks are moving. I want to stay on the tracks. So I want to, it's through the Word in the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit in me to guide me, that fire moving for him. But I also need the Word of God. See, some Christians have given up on the Word of God. They just want all the woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, right? You can't give up on the Word of God. You can't. It is useful for all those things, training. Listen, it's God-breathed. And we need to keep it. Listen, I'm not saying that we have the best. Listen, that's where theology comes in. I come at it saying, Lord, I just want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And when you keep that as the centerpiece, things are good. Because there's some things you're not going to know. I'm just being honest. There's some things you're not going to know. But all you have to do is keep on track with the Lord. Stay connected to him. Stay connected to him. Stay connected with the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you. Amen? And then finally, day 5, Jesus gives us purpose. Jesus gives us purpose. I mentioned with you the verse that we did on Wednesday, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But that doesn't end there. The rest of that verse says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus gives us purpose. What's your purpose? To tell everybody about Jesus. Pastor Jeff was there that day, and he told the kids as the conductor, he told the kids at every stop along the way, you're rolling down the window in the train and saying, come aboard, come on, all aboard, come on. Come on, Jesus got a ticket for you. Come on, he's got a ticket, come on. That is our job. Now, when I read this, Jesus says this. He says, and you will be my witnesses. Not that I wish you would be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. See, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will be his witness. So the question I have sometimes is when I'm not feeling like it, man, I got to go right back to the source. Lord, I need you to fill me. I need that fire burning inside my heart again. Lord, would you stir that fire like that old song from the 90s? Set a fire, right? Light the fire in my soul. Nobody? Okay, we're going back old school. In my weary soul, That's the purpose that he has. Listen, I told the kids this. Jody will love this. Witnesses, another word for that is missionaries. And did you notice about this? He says, he starts with Jerusalem. That's their hometown. He goes to Judea. That would be in like New York State. Oh, hold on the phone. Can I tell you something real quick? That God has you here to be his witness. Everybody's trying to jump ship. I'm getting out of New York. Well, that's your Judea. That's your Judea. God's put you on this in this state for a reason. You have a purpose. When everybody's trying to jump ship, I'm trying to sit there and go, God, what do you want from me? Because my flesh wants to leave. My flesh wants to say, goodbye, Kathy, I'm out of here. Not my mom, Hochul. She'd probably come with me, I don't know. But that's my flesh. But God says you will be a missionary. You will be. You are missionaries. Those little kids are missionaries. You're a missionary. There's nothing you can do about it that is your purpose. That's what you're called to do. He doesn't want you to just be a bump on the log and just sitting on the train relaxing, put a movie on, and I'm checked out, I'm going to heaven, I'm good. No, he wants you to get everybody else on board. And he uses you to influence people. He uses you. So where is your Jerusalem? Is it at work? Is your Jerusalem at work? Should you be ministering to your friends at work, your coworkers? Maybe it's around you. Maybe it's your neighbor. Some of you are like, oh, not my neighbor. You don't even know him. Listen, God put you there. Look, think about that for a second. God put you there. He put you in that job to be a witness. He put you in that house to be a witness. He gave you the positions that you have to be a witness. You're like, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Nope, you're a witness. You're like, no, you don't understand. I work on a farm. You're a witness. I only work with my family. You're a witness. God is saying you are a missionary, and he's calling us to do that, to calling us that because, listen, like I said, in this world, there's a lot of bad news, and we got the good news. This world is struggling for purpose. This world is struggling for identity. And what I loved what Roger Clark said last week is just you love people doesn't mean that you have to conform. So when you're loving on people in the world, don't sit there and think that beat them over the head and say you must go to church or you're going to die for eternity and burn. Like, you don't have to do that. Jesus says love your neighbor. He says tell them about what he did in your life. Yeah, when we're doing this, you're just being obedient. Let God work on the heart as you obey. Two people doing, God's doing his thing, you're doing your thing. Like the door that I told you about 2 weeks ago, it's like the door has a job and I have a job. I have to close the door. In this walk, we have a job. If we want to see revival, it starts in us. It starts in Jerusalem. Then it goes to Judea. Then it goes to Samaria, like our whole nation. And then it goes to the whole world. So maybe, you know, I told the kids, maybe some of them will be missionaries in other countries. And I pray that would be true. I pray that would be true for all of us. But that's not all that we are called to do. He started in the hometown. Right now, what can we be doing to witness and be a missionary to the people around us? You know, missionaries, one of their key jobs is serving. Serving. You know, I told my friend, I had a friend last night. I went to a concert, which was dumb because I didn't get home till really late. And on the way home, he's like, how's it going? You know, Pastor Jeff's on sabbatical. Scott's on vacation. How's it going? And I told him this. I said, you know what I've realized is I've been here 14 years, and it just nothing has hit me harder than this week is that the whole job of being a Christian is to serve. Serving God and serve, that's it. That's the job. But that's not just for me, that's for you. That's for you in your homes, that's for you in your jobs and your friends groups and your family, is that while we, let's just serve them. Let's tell them about Jesus, let those doors open, but let's be bold because we're full of the Holy Spirit, amen? Amen. I want to pray for you real quick, but I do want to do the theme song one more time. Can we do the theme song one more time? Because there's good news, right? Good news in the theme song. So thank you again for all that served. All the kids, you can come right on up. And I got some my motion leaders. They did just a great job. Now listen, when I gave it to you earlier, Didn't see a lot of emotions going on out there. I will do it too if you do it. And let's get the kids to do it. You guys can do it. Do you guys think you know it good enough to teach them? Or no? No, you don't. Okay, they said no. They said no. All right, let's stand together. Let's celebrate what God's done with this song. You could play it right now.
Searching for God, how can you get back?
All aboard the Jesus train.
With wooden nails, he laid down the tracks.
All aboard the Jesus train.
Good news. Jesus came to save. Jesus train. I hear the engine coming right now.
All aboard the Jesus train.
The Spirit of the Lord's gonna give us the power.
All aboard the Jesus train.
Good news. Jesus came to save. Jesus train. All right, everybody, I want to hear you shout his name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's the name above all names.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's the only name that can save. Every day,
all aboard the Jesus train,
inviting everybody along the way, saying,
all aboard the Jesus train.
Good news, Jesus came to save.
Just picture Pastor Scott on this part right here. Oh, turn up. Oh, it's gone. Pastor Scott did an awesome bass line there. Pastor Scott did a great job. He's on vacation. I'm just going to tell you, I'm taking tomorrow off. Lisette, I'm giving the power invested in me to give you the day off. there you go. So I want to pray for you real quick. Dear Lord, would you just, again, would we just pray right now that this week wouldn't just be a wasted week. We pray, Lord, right now you'd stir in the hearts of the kids that were here, stir in their parents' hearts, and Lord, would you stir in our hearts and do something fresh in us. That every day, Lord, that we waking up and saying, Lord, I need your good news. Lord, I need your good news. Every day we would be going straight to you for the fire inside of us, Lord, that you would come and give us the boldness. No matter who you are, I don't care if you're the senior pastor. pastor, Pastor Jeff, or if you just became a Christian last week, God has called you to be a missionary. And Lord, we are asking right now that you would help us get everybody aboard this Jesus train so that we can all be with you forever and have a great life doing it. In the name of Jesus, we all said, amen. All aboard. God bless you as you go. Have a great week in the Lord.